The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is Ask Bill. This is our monthly Fun Fact Friday Ask Bill episode, where I answer specific real estate investing questions received during the month from emails, in-person conversations, phone calls, or through online portals that I'm active in, such as BiggerPockets.com and Quora. But before we get started, just again, I'd like to check in with you guys and just hope everything is going well with your real estate investing, whether you are actively investing or researching and putting together data, collecting information, searching out properties, whatever it may be. I mean, we are here as a resource for you, and we love getting your questions anytime you want to write to us. I also want to just say, hey, if you listen to the show, first off, I just want to thank you. I don't think I say that enough. I really do appreciate the fact that you're listening. But I would love to get your feedback as to, you know, what you like about the show, what you don't like about the show. What could we do to make it better? What topics or guests would you like to see? Give us your feedback at olddogsreinetwork.com, a website, /contact. That would really help us to know better about what you're looking for and what you'd like to see. If you like the show, we would really love to get your reviews on iTunes. I know we mention this a lot, but one of the reasons we do that is because it really helps to get the word out. iTunes has some sort of algorithm or something that if you get so many reviews that, they'll put your name out there when people are searching for shows and that kind of stuff. But anyway, we would love your feedback. I really, really appreciate that. Okay, well, let's get on with our topic today. We've got two questions we're going to be answering. One is called Most Common REI Mistakes, Real Estate Investing Mistakes, and the other are the best states to invest. So first, let's take a look at the most common mistakes when people first get into real estate investing. This is a Quora question. You know, if you've listened to the show long enough, we always ask our guests about what their biggest mistake was. And some people react kind of, differently to it. Some people don't like to use the word mistake or whatever, but I have no problem with it. Because to me, I think mistakes are not a bad thing. Mistakes are something we learn from. Sometimes those are the best lessons we learn are the things that we blow it in, you know? But anyway, if you listen to the shows, it's fascinating to hear from these people, some of them very experienced, very successful or real estate investors, others, maybe newbies or in other areas besides real estate. In recent ones, we've had some people have talked about bad partnerships, not analyzing properties more carefully, due diligence issues. Cover this a lot. I think mistakes are really invaluable for us, and it's great when you can learn from other people's mistakes before you actually make that mistake, which is great. One of my good friends, Paul Moore, who's been a guest on Old Dogs REI Network a couple of times, he has a podcast, and it's called How to Lose Money. Isn't that great? I'll have a link to it here in the show notes. But and he has people on that share the mistakes that they have made that, you know, cost them, you know, what they learned from it, how they fixed the problem, and how they turned things around. So it's a great idea for a podcast. I love it. And he has some fascinating folks on there. And this old dog actually has been a guest on it as well. You can hear my mistake one. It's about a 4-hour episode. No, just kidding. But anyway, you can look up some of the great shows he's had on there. Let's get into mistakes, okay? First, I have, like I said, a lot of content on there where I talk about mistakes and common ones that happen and how you can avoid them. This is something that I'm going to try and just highlight some of the content that has been on the show in the past. One of the most interesting to me is when I talk to old dog investors, and I'm talking about folks that are not only old, but they're people that have been doing this a long time. There are two key mistakes that I hear from them that I really think is important to share with you. One was a gentleman called Samuel Freshman that we had him on. He was talking about real estate syndication. And this guy has been investing for 60 plus years. He had just some great insight, and I loved hearing it. And his biggest mistakes, I thought, were really key. One, he said, not buying more. And that's a real interesting one, because if you think about it, buying more, what do you mean by buying more? Too often he just avoided deals because he, one way or the other, he just, it's something he didn't do. And he thought, I should have bought more, even if there were potential risks involved. And his second one was, I thought, was a great answer. And I said, well, what would you say maybe your biggest mistake, is? And he said one word: selling. Which is really interesting, because so many of us are in this mindset of these short-term holds and only having the property for a certain period of time. But his thing was, hey, I shouldn't have sold. I should have held on to the properties that I bought that were good properties and not sold them. So those are a couple of key ones I thought that might be of interest to you. But I've got some others, and I will kind of just zip through them because we don't have a lot of time on the show. But I will have links to a lot of these podcasts and articles that are on our website that talk about mistakes. Being pre-qualified, this is a good one, because when you're looking for properties, you want to be able to move quickly. Sometimes you have to, especially in today's competitive environment. So working with a mortgage broker, making sure you have all of your information ready to go to get that loan, getting pre-qualified if you can. It's hard with commercial loans sometimes, but you can get pre-qualified with most residential. Running your numbers, that's another one, a common one, not running the numbers correctly. Knowing your market, that's one that many of us, we go into a place because it's convenient, but we don't really know if it's a place that we really can see growth and see opportunities to increase rent and do the types of things that help make a better investment. Professional inspections, especially people that buy turnkey. This is a common mistake. They'll assume that the turnkey company did all the right stuff, and they bypass that important inspection. Tracking income and expenses, really, really important. Properly documenting partnerships. Now, partnerships is an interesting one, because that is one that we have heard on more than one occasion where people have had problems. So, writing everything up front. Too many partnerships are sort of handled with a handshake, which is how I usually prefer to do things. But in this particular case, it can be harmful for you if the partnership goes sour. Spending tons of money on all this real estate investing information and books and programs and all that stuff and never getting started. And that would probably lead to probably one of the most common mistakes, and that is not getting started. So many people have all kinds of fears, and it has really held them back from being able to move forward. Failure to learn the basics of real estate investing, jumping into it without having at least the fundamentals. You're never going to learn everything. And most of it, I say, you learn once you buy that first property, but overcoming that. Looking at more properties, sometimes we see a property and we just latch onto it, as opposed to defining our criteria first and then really looking for properties that will meet that criteria. Let's see some of the other ones. A lot of people think that real estate investing is strictly something for the rich, and really this is what's so great about real estate investing is anybody can get into it. So don't be discouraged by those kinds of false ideas. Falling in love with the property. That's happened to a lot of people, where you just, oh, this is a great property, it's wonderful. So you kind of compromise and you end up, getting not such a great deal out of it because you really like the property. That one can happen to a lot of people. Stick to the numbers, stick to the data, and go on from there. Failure to effectively plan your financial goals. You really need to do this before you even get started and know how to allocate your time and resources there. Trying to purchase properties where the seller isn't that motivated. You're just pushing and pushing for the sale, and you end up not getting the deal that you really need to have in order to make it a profitable property. A lot of people come into it with, sort of, instead of fearful, they're just jumping into it thinking, I'm going to get rich overnight. And this is not a realistic approach here. You really need to be able to understand what you can accomplish and what is not so likely. Yeah, you can move very quickly and you can see wealth through real estate investing, but it doesn't often happen overnight. In fact, I don't think it ever does. Anyway, sometimes people want to pay off the mortgage right away. And, it's kind of one of those plus or minus things. You have the advantages, the tax advantages and deep depreciation and so forth when you do have that mortgage. But at the same time, it's kind of nice to own properties outright too. So that's one of those areas where I'm kind of torn. Well, those are some of the key mistakes that people make. There's, like I said, I'll have references to other articles and podcasts that I've had about mistakes, just for your reference. The next question is, what are the best states to invest in real estate now? Now, this is one of those loaded questions here, because there are a lot of elements you want to look at. How do you define best? Really, you've got to define more carefully in detail what you're looking for. Is it cash flow? Is it equity? Is it both? Are you investing for retirement or immediate cash income now? And these are just some of the questions you need to ask yourself before you can really define which markets are best for you. When you look at good markets to invest in, you must realize that real estate investing is very regional. It's better to look at, local MSAs, municipal statistical areas, which are usually larger cities, but also look at smaller regions too within a state. And even when you look at cities, there can be a good part of the city and a not so good part of the city to invest. So it goes down to even neighborhood and even street by street in some areas. I currently invest in Atlanta, Memphis, and Indianapolis. And even within each city, for example, Memphis, a good investment area, versus poor, can be a difference of one street, seriously. And so you need to really know your markets very well there. So that's part of your research. And other people are looking for emerging markets. So looking for those that are sort of on the bottom of the bell curve, that are going up in value, so that you've got the equity. And when you've got the equity, you've got leverage. That's what people are looking for there. Even though I'm a cash flow investor, I also like the equity play because it gives me leverage to be able to buy more properties by taking out and doing a cash out refi on that property to leverage to purchase other properties. So there's something to that. So in looking at the hot markets, I've got some links here, episode 095, which recently was on the hot emerging markets for best deals. And then I look at a number of factors. These are place where home sales are good, prices are going up, rents are going up. It's got a lot of the key stuff. Employment is strong. The economy is strong. Just boom, boom, all the key factors. So this is, again, subjective. It's based on a number of factors that I outline more in the podcast itself, which I'll have a link to. But I'll give you the top 11 here, okay? And this was from an episode 178 called Top U.S. Emerging Markets for 2018. Starting at the bottom, number 11, Florida. Number 10, Michigan. Yeah, you got it. And that's the home of Detroit, right? So there are some interesting things going on there. Number 9, Nebraska. Number 8, Texas. It's always on these lists because Texas is still hot. It's booming. It's a great, people are moving there. It's hot. 7, Colorado. Number 6, Oregon. Number 5, Rhode Island. Number 4, Tennessee. And then the last three, and you got, are all Western states, which is interesting. Number 3 is Idaho. Okay, that's where my son's moving, and he's looking for fourplexes right now. Number 2, Utah. Number 1, Washington State. And I know that some people say, "Wow, Washington is very expensive," but it doesn't mean that it's not going up still, and that rents are strong and demand is strong for rental properties. So those are the top 11 emerging states. So again, it's a localized thing. Not every city in Washington, for example, is going to be a great one, but there are those that are still have great opportunities. So, and that goes for all of these states. You need to look at it as a localized market. Okay, well, that is it for today, gang, and I hope that helps you, give you some more information that you can take home with you. Please note, there are a lot of links in this particular podcast, so you'll want to go to olddogsreinetwork.com/blog, and you're going to look for the Ask Bill episode to get the information here that I kind of zipped through really quick. But you can go to those links to get more extended information on each of these areas. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.